Welcome back to the JISC SSBR Institutional Innovation Program. And we're broadcasting live on internet radio. We're broadcasting, hopefully, live into Illuminate. In fact, I know we're broadcasting live into Illuminate because I just heard myself on back on the headphones. Okay, this is the second of today's programs. For those of you who've just come in on live on our internet feed, what's all this about? Well, it's today the JISC SSBR Institutional Innovation Program is having a conference on institutional impact. The conference is an online conference using the Illuminate conferencing suite. There's about 65, 70 people there live. And to accompany the program in the lunch breaks, in the coffee breaks this morning and in the evening, we have live internet radio, which is being fed both across into Illuminate and out onto internet radio. It's going to be a mixture of chat, interviews, comments, music, we hope, although our mixer's crashed at the moment. A couple of highlights of this morning, I suppose, a brilliant keynote speech by John Cook on surfing the mobile wave. How do we scaffold learning? How's technology changing the culture of our organisations? And John was putting forward the idea of mobile devices, technology which can be appropriated by learners for change and reflecting on how it would change institutional practice in the future. As always, some amusing moments on Twitter. I liked Neil Witt's comment this morning when he said he'd never seen such an in-depth understanding of German industrial music at a JISC conference before. Some good comments going on there. And I loved Matt's comment on Twitter about John Cook. What's all that about? Well, somebody at the end, John Cook, as some of you will know, is a musician and said at some point that he sees himself as an investigative DJ on Blip FM. Josie Fraser asked him, what's his Blip FM address? He said, it's John Nigel Cook, and someone typed that in. Then Matt misread that as Johnny Gel Cook. And then somebody else came back, I think it was Joss, saying, is that what John uses to hold his hair back when he's playing his rock and roll gigs? Oh, it wasn't that funny, but it amused me, a bit of twittering going on there. Okay, what we got in this session? Well, we're hoping to have a live interview with Laurie Phipps, JISC program manager. At the moment, I haven't got Laurie on Skype. If anyone knows where Laurie is, do please give him a shout from me. Tell him I'm trying to get hold of him on Skype. I've got a pending text message going. But never mind, we've also got Ruth Drysdale as well. And I think, Dirk, we've got some music now. So we're going to go into a short musical break.
Como el del señor.
Tell us, what's your connection with the Institutional Innovation Programme?
Oh, hi, Graham. Thank you for inviting me to speak at this interview. I'm an e-learning programme manager, and so that involves both the projects and a wider programme focus. So from the projects point of view, I began working for JISC in 2009, and was immediately involved in managing the selection of the projects process. Once the projects had been put forward to funding, I had to inform the unsuccessful bidders, that unfortunately they weren't going to be included in this round.
Not the nicest part of the job.
No, it wasn't. That was quite stressful, really. They were very disappointed. But then I have to ensure that the successful projects are going to deliver in accordance with the JISC processes and procedures. So this will involve monitoring the project's management, you know, sort of ensuring that reports are produced on time and to the required quality.
What would you say? I mean, you're beginning to get the reports in. I've talked to some of the projects. Generally, they're pretty impressive, but I find it quite hard to get an overview. What would you say is the major themes emerging from the different projects you've looked at so far?
Yes, with the projects, there's a very complex picture with all of them, in that they're covering a lot of different areas, but they are following the vision of the programme that was put in the initial bid documentation. And so we have several projects that are looking into XCRI, that's the course information XML schema. So there's quite a few doing that. Then there's others that are looking at accredited course frameworks.
Okay.
And APEL, or accredited prior experiential learning. Several are interested in developing to support CPD and how that information can be communicated to both the learners and their employers. And then another area that people are looking at in more explicitly than others is about mentor support. And that's making sure that they have processes and the technology, for example, portfolios, to make the communication between employers, learners, and universities or the FEs more effective and efficient.
Okay, that's a lot of different themes, but that's interesting. I talked to you earlier, Ruth, when we were saying what would we do with this interview, and you came out with a little catchphrase I liked. We were talking about what messages we might want to give to projects and messages to the wider world as well. And you said useful, usable, used. I noted that down quite straight away. Do you want to explain what you meant by that? Useful, usable, used.
I think whatever a project develops, it has to be useful. So there has to be a need from one of our institutions that we're funded by. So it has to be a useful solution. And they have to be able to use it. So it has to be usable. So it might be usable, but if the interface is so clunky, it's unmanageable, then it won't get used. So people won't be able to use it. So we need to make sure that it's usable. But most importantly, we need to make sure that there's uptake, not just with the projects that develop the initial solution, but also by other institutions within the HE sector. Because we must remember that we get top-size funding in order to develop solutions that others can benefit from. And so that's where the BR money is really coming into its own, to really sort of work on that used aspect. So we're really keen for dissemination and effective uptake by other institutions.
And just for the benefit of listeners who aren't involved in the UK, HE refers to higher education, which is mainly universities, and BR is a term we've got for dissemination and embedding of projects in practice. Would you say that's fair?
Yes, yeah, sorry. Acronyms are...
Well, acronyms are right
everywhere.
We're in, absolutely. So what practical steps? Because, yeah, everybody is saying we need to get this stuff out there, we need to get it used. But you know, as well as I do, that we tend to suffer in our sector too often from projectitis. We develop a project, we finish that project, we move on to the next one. What can practically be done to start making this work used?
Well, there are a lot of repositories that are emerging in different areas. And so with that, we're trying to make sure that we have somewhere to collect all the useful information and tools and techniques and processes that have been developed in projects. In a place, electronic or physical, where other institutions can get hold of it. So there's two sides to that. There's one about getting projects to put the information into the repository, but then the used side of the useful, usable and used is going to be getting institutions to take information out of the repository and actually use it.
And I guess part of that's being able to find the repositories in the first place.
That's right. So that's where the communication side of the projects are really important, because it's no good just having wonderful stuff if nobody knows about it. So again, part of a critical part of the projects is their communication and dissemination plans.
That's good stuff, Ruth. Well, I know, obviously, we live in fairly insecure times these days, but where do you see the future of the Institutional Innovation Programme going?
Well, this is quite a timely point for us, because the JISC are just revising their strategy for the next 3 years, and that's going through a consultation process at the moment and will be published this autumn. So the JISC, like all current public services, are not going to be immune from any spending cuts. So that means that we just really need to be much more strategic in how we implement some of the things that come out in the strategy. So we need to really make sure that where we do spend our money, that it really maximises on the project outputs and outcomes, and that we can really demonstrate the value that these projects are giving to the whole sector.
And I guess part of the message as well is for institutions, despite, I know there's always competition between universities, but it is to start sharing some of those results and really building on what's out there.
Yes, absolutely. And then that fits into the useful, usable and used. But I know it is a great challenge for the other side of the coin of taking information out of a repository is a challenging one, because you have to know what's in there and know how to use it. And so it's likely that it's going to take a bit of short-term pain for long-term gain. So if people are prepared to spend a bit more effort in looking to see what's out there, that they will benefit in the long term.
Well, we're going to move on now, Ruth, because we've got more people coming on the programme. I'd like to thank you very much, but here you've got your two messages today: useful, usable, used, and short-term pain for long-term gain. Great, Ruth.
Yeah.
Thanks.
OK, thank you, Graham. Bye.
Welcome back to the Institutional Innovation Show. This is your host, Graham Atwell. I'm delighted to say I've got JISC Project Manager, Laurie Programme Manager, Laurie Phipps, are live on Skype now. Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Graham. How's it going?
It's not too bad. It's a bit hectic broadcasting so many times today. Laurie, I was really interested in the last session that we ran live in the Illuminate in the Institutional Impact Conference this morning. There were a series of models put up about the Institutional Innovation Programme, and one of them was attributed to you, and it said a model of micro-macro tools. Can you explain more what you mean by that model?
It's not a model as such. I saw George's presentation this morning on that, and Craig and I were talking about how we can get outputs from the actual programme, and what we're looking at and what we want the support project to do is look across these different axes. So for example, what's going on a micro level that's having a behavior at a wider level, at the macro. So going, drilling down into the project, seeing what's happening, picking up those behaviors, those technologies, what people are doing and how they're doing it, and then seeing how that behavior scales across the actual impact that the project's having in its institution, and the project, the impact that it's having in a much wider context as well. Now, there's obviously other axes as well to be considered there about meeting strategies and those things. So the sort of looking at things on a micro level, but looking at the behaviour on a macro level is the kind of thing that we are trying to extract.
I can see that makes sense. I mean, I've done a couple of interviews for this afternoon's show at 3 o'clock. And what quite impressed me was that one with Green ICT Project, another one on distributed working, was that although the projects weren't so much high technology, they were projects which really did seem to have an institutional impact. Are you seeing this with other projects?
I think across the board, we've got quite a lot of institutional impact from just about every project. So I'm trying to think of a project that isn't doing something that isn't having an impact. So we are seeing it in a lot of other projects, and we're seeing it in ways that weren't perhaps perceived at the beginning of the program. So it's quite nice that everybody's sort of looking at what they're doing and then trying to scale it and help it, to have some sort of strategy and working with strategies in the institutions. I don't want to single a project out specifically live, as it were, because that wouldn't be fair on that project, or the fact that there's a whole load of projects doing brilliant things across every project that we've got. All of my projects are brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, I have to say that, I've been around on a few programs, European as well as UK, and I have to say I'm really impressed with the projects that I've talked to in terms of their vision in some ways. And one thing Ruth was saying in the interview we did earlier is that for the future, this is going to become very important that these projects build some impact, which in turn can be built on by other institutions. And I suppose that's the idea of the benefits realisation?
It is. Benefits realisation is, well, as you are aware, you see a lot of projects that have dissemination strategies. And dissemination strategies, in my experience of working with people, has always been about what conference shall we go to. And I'm not interested in any of my programs going to conferences and talking about stuff that, you know, maybe nobody goes to the session. I mean, we've all been in those conferences where you've had 3 men and a dog. So what I want to do with benefit realization is get some active verbs in there and get people doing. And it's really about taking the outputs from the project and testing them with other people instead of telling them about other people.
So putting it into effect.
Yeah, I would rather we spend money on getting a project transferred and working in 3 other institutions than telling 50. If we can demonstrate that by scaling up and working with, you know, a few more institutions and we're giving value for money, then that's, to me, what benefit realisation is about, making it happen somewhere else.
That's a good one, Laurie. We've got a bit more time, but there's one big question, I suppose, I've got. George Roberts earlier was helping me, sending out some emails to people about coming on the programme, and he said for JISC programme managers, he said the question to be addressed is, as JISC programme managers, what is your vision of the changed institution? What does it look like? And how does your program contribute to realising this vision? Now, I know that's a hell of a question, but do you have some ideas? What do you think the changed institution looks like?
I haven't got a clue, Graham. And to be honest, the most important thing is not about what my vision or what the support project's vision or anybody else's vision is for a changed institution. Our job is to actually help people to vision themselves, for that institution to say, look, here's all the issues, here's what's happening across the sector. This is our strategy that we're meeting in terms of research, in terms of education, in terms of what HEFC are requiring of them. And our job is to actually help realise that vision. We're not here to interpret. We're here to actually look at how an institution can change and support itself and its main mission. And so I want programmes and projects that are going to help people to realise their own vision.
And any advice to the projects about how they can do that?
Yeah, get your reports in on time.
Thanks very much, Laurie. Great stuff. It's good to talk to you.
Pleasure, Graham. Take care.
Okay, bye. Okay, we're going. That was Laurie Phipps. We're going now into a musical break. Music.
JISC SSBR Institutional Innovation Show. I'm your host, Graham Atwell. Dirk Stierglitz is my producer today. And this is a lunchtime show broadcasting till 13:30 UK time, 14:30 Central European time, live on internet radio and live in the Illuminate JISC Institutional Impact Conference. I've been following Twitter a bit more than normal today. Twitter's the sort of thing which accompanies conferences quite well, and there's been a good few references to the programme, to the conference. The tag, incidentally, for any of you who are thinking of Twittering or putting photos up, etc., is SSBR0709. There's been a few issues emerging from other conferences today. One which has particularly interested me is, I'm not quite sure what conference it is, but it's a UK conference, talking about the future of the research assessment exercise, which is, for those of you listening from outside the UK, is the exercise by which research is rated, research departments are rated, which depends on your funding. And one issue emerging, which I quite like to discuss in our evening programme, is the idea that researchers will be rewarded in future for engaging with the public. And there's been some discussion that getting articles in newspapers, appearing on internet radio shows such as this one, putting your presentations on SlideShare, will become a feature of your ratings for research output. It will no longer just be academic conferences. I'm well interested in that. And as Laurie just said, dissemination isn't such a matter of going to the conference, making the presentations, but he sees the task to do to really get institution engagement and impact around research and around development projects. I think that's quite a big topic, and I'd like to pick that up a bit into the future. We're running up to our last track for this show. The music we've been playing in the lunchtime break has been from two bands, Juanitos from France, although I gather they're a Spanish band, I'm not sure. And their band album's called The Best Of. And the second band we've been playing is The Cool Cavemen, with an album called, I'm struggling to read my producer's handwriting here, All Cool Hits. Both those records are available free and legal for download on the Jamendo Creative Commons website. That's jamendo.com. One more bit, I suppose, of lunchtime information that I feel I ought to really give you, if I can, is the cricket scores and the England-Australia match at Cardiff. England were all out for 435 runs. This ain't going to make much sense to those of you listening on the continent on the radio. And the last I knew is Australia in their first innings, and I think it's a lunchtime score, were 33 for no wicket. I'd like to thank Ruth Drysdale and Laurie Phipps for coming on this lunchtime show. Thanks to you for listening. And over to Dirk in a moment to play us out. But just to remind you, we'll be next on the radio today at 1500 UK, 1600 Central European time for another afternoon coffee break show. More live radio, more interviews, some great stuff lined up for you. And we'll be back on at 18:30 UK, 19:30 Central European for an hour's show. If you'd like to come on the evening show, especially any of you who've been at the conference, I'd really like to know what you thought about the ideas coming today. And I can bring you in by Skype. I can even telephone you over a Skype connection. Just either email me, that's graham10@mac.com, or Skype me. My Skype name's really easy. It's Graham Atwell, spelt with two T's, but all one word. And be delighted to have you on the show with your reflections, your ideas around the subject of institutional innovation, technology, change, the future of education, that sort of issue. Okay, Dirk, over to you to play us out the final 2 minutes of the lunchtime institutional innovation show.
Fahrenheit.